Of course, we're going to start with our Bibles this morning. We're going to start in the book of Acts, chapter 11. And then if you would also grab 1 Peter, chapter 4, as a starting point. Now, there are times when a man might rightly have some comments to make and then direct his hearers to Scripture. That could be appropriate. I feel like there's a great amount of waffling going on today. Part of that is because the believers who are attending the preaching and teaching of the Word of God are in need of help of the speaker drawing them into a place where they can hear. These are introductory comments I'm going to make to you that are, they're connected to our subject today on teaching others also. Now, let me say this, that this is addressing people in what are called Bible-believing churches. They may not all have the word Baptist on the sign, but they're Baptistic. They're Bible-believing. We're talking about King James Bible-believing. My aim is to strike at the head of the snake today. That is, in many cases, a dangerous thing to do. In my case, it isn't. But for many a man to get up and to strike at the head of the snake of what we're going to talk about today and amongst Bible-believing Christians, and I say that because there are such a great variety of people who profess Christ today, a great variety. And amongst that variety, there are all kinds of different things. The worst thing that I see is that many of the people who don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God are more aware of the subject I'm going to talk about today than Bible believers are. Now, when I first announce it, you're going to think, oh, well, Bible believers are all over this, but they're not. They're not. Being a Bible-believing Baptist, independent Baptist, that kind of stuff has become a religion. And so my subject is Christianity versus religion. So if you're a Bible believer, you want to tune in your ears and your heart and your mind, but you want to follow. Because we're not going to talk about cults, things like, say, Catholicism or Latter-day Saints and, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses and all that kind of stuff. We're not. We're going to talk about people in Bible-believing churches and what they have done to Christianity. To the Christianity that for many of them was handed down almost directly from a dear older man of God, most who've gone on to be with the Lord. The use of the word Christian is biblical. Acts chapter 11, which I directed your attention to begin with. In Acts chapter 11, Paul and Barnabas, he's not called Paul yet, he's still Saul. In verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. There is a drastic difference today that has been ignored when it comes to the difference between preaching and teaching. We're going to do something on that soon. And it's going to be about Bible believers and independent Baptists who have pretended that what they're doing is preaching, and they have taken one verse about keep to themselves teachers having itching ears and have built a whole system, honestly, a cult, a sect, S-E-C-T, on this thing of, that unless you address God's people a certain way, you're not preaching. And I'm telling you, according to the Bible, it's heresy. It is literally heresy, but it's worse than that. It's a seduction of God's people that has drawn them away from the Bible. It has drawn them away from the ministry of the Word and drawn them into an emotional up-and-down state that requires, quote, their preaching to get them pumped up every now and then. So what they've done, they've got a self-propagating ministry going where you got to have them, kind of like an addiction to a drug. And that is not our subject matter today, but it sure fits in there. So they assembled themselves the whole year and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The use of the word Christian is biblical. The current use of the word Christian is widely unbiblical. even anti-biblical. But that does not negate God's use of the word. Much of the use of the word predestination, which is found in your Bible in key places, is unbiblical the way it's applied. It's anti-biblical, but it doesn't negate the word, and the word is essential. So Christian may well be a word initially used by people at large to identify followers of Christ. If you would flip a couple pages to the right, in chapter 26, Acts chapter 26, you'll remember the phrase that Agrippa said when Paul was testifying before him, and God was persuading men's hearts and persuading Agrippa's heart. Then Agrippa said in verse 28, said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And it's not the only place it's used. It's also used in 1 Peter chapter 4, which I directed your attention to. So if you have your marker there, open to there. 1 Peter chapter 4, where the Apostle Peter is talking about reproach, verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, he says, behave yourselves, verse 15, let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer. Oh, and mark this, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Do you know the Pharisees were the worst recorded ones in the Bible about that kind of stuff? And they had a very, very, very strong religion. And I'm just going to tell you right now, Bible-believing Christians are some of the worst people I've ever met about gossip and busybody in other men's matters. They think because they have a book, and there's one book, and they know the book, that now they are also God. And they have neglected some of the weightier matters of the law. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. So it's a Bible word. And it is a valid word when it's used in a Bible context. So Christianity, from the Bible sense, has great biblical precedence. Now, maybe you kept your finger there, but hang a left, go back to Acts for a minute. We're going to be in this general section as we lay this foundation, Acts chapter 26. My subject is Christianity versus religion. You might say, have you become religious? You might ask yourself that. I had thought about making that the beginning statement. Have you become religious? And we will talk about what the Bible says about pure religion. Because James talks about 1:27, pure religion and undefiled. Okay? But pure religion is not what most Bible-believing people have become. Acts 26, verse 5. This is Paul testifying before Agrippa. He says, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. So let me say this to you. What the Pharisees taught about salvation, what the Lord Jesus Christ had to teach against the Pharisees' teaching of salvation, what the epistles teach against works salvation, is not about undoing the Old Testament. There is no works for salvation in the Old Testament. If you think that taking an innocent lamb and cutting its throat and shedding its blood is a good work, man, I don't know that I can help you from the Bible. Cutting a lamb's throat and shedding its innocent blood and staining that little pure, innocent, without blemish lamb, shedding his blood is an act of violence. And it's done so to put away the Old Testament sins until Christ, with his own very blood, the blood of God, Acts chapter 20, could do so. The fact that they had to shed blood was not a good work. What had happened was, during the 400 silent years, the Pharisees had arisen and had turned it into a sect, into a religion. They had turned it into faith and works. So you can actually be a real true Bible believer if you realize that yes, they had to offer the blood, but you have to come with the blood of Jesus Christ on your hands to be saved. That's what has to happen to you. Religion. Religious is a Bible word. Hang a left to chapter 13. Chapter 13. To be religious is a Bible word. And the reason this is important is I'm not talking about all the other people out there, which is what most people would love. Okay? They would love it. Bible believers love to talk about how, what everybody else has wrong. They want to talk about what everybody else has missed. They want to talk about what everybody else is doing. But there's very little real. Oh, yeah, and you'll get into a Bible believing independent Baptist church, and they'll preach on certain things that get people to the altar. And then they'll go outside and sit down at a table with other preachers, and they'll live like a person that you would just think, well, you know, what is that all about? And then they think because people came to an altar, that means it's okay for them to live like they live. And that is literally blasphemy. In Acts chapter 13, verse 43, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. They were proselytes. That is, they weren't Gentiles, but they were joining up with the Jews, so they were religious proselytes. So religion is a Bible word. Paul uses it in Galatians chapter 1. Okay? It's a Bible word. James uses it in 1:27. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this. And most independent Baptists know the first part. Ready? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Man, have they dropped this last part. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know what's amazing to me? Is that more Christians don't see through some of these gas bags. That more Christians don't see through these men that get up and have their own little petty belief system that they say makes a real man. And they say makes a Christian. And someone doesn't call them to task about all the spots they have on them from the world. But you see, what they've got going is a mutual admiration society. They've got an agreement going. And that agreement is, you can have your sin and I'll have mine and we won't touch it just as long as we can keep us a following going and keep some offerings coming in. Or we can keep our popularity. Or we can keep our esteem of one another, telling each other how we're carrying the banner of the old man. But they're not. They're not. You see, my dear brother and sister, when you get into your Bible, you start seeing a whole different thing. Listen, in verse 26 right there of James 1, the verse above it, if any man among you seemeth to be, here's the word again, religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You know, one of the greatest sources of busybody gossip and criticism and even off-color jokes and stuff are independent Bible-believing Baptist leaders. I've been around them. And the young men come up and they think it's a sign of manhood to say some off-color thing or some innuendo. And they think somehow, well, that makes it okay because the older man of God did it. No. You know what they're doing? They're tempting God. They're presumptuous. Now listen. True Christianity is described from the beginning in the context of Acts chapter 11. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They're disciples. These are people who have gotten in with God, not gotten in with your church, not gotten in with your way of worship, not gotten in with your responsiveness you want. You know what I found? Sometimes the people who don't just jump up and run to the altar are the people who are the most changed. I've had Australians sit in church, hear something preached and taught, and they never said a word. And 3 months later, 6 months later, come to me and say, brother, you said that. I went away and tried it, and it works. You know, a person like that is far better off than the person who's just all over the map, and they're up and they're down. But you see, you can't manipulate a person unless they are up and down, because then they need you, and they got to have you come back in a year, and they got to have you do this, and they got to have you do that. Now, are there times when there's an altar call? Absolutely. But you're not going to find all that many of them in your Bible, in your New Testament. What you are going to find is a constant appeal to apply the scriptures to one's personal inner life on a daily basis. We today often use the word believers or a believer because of the misuse of Christianity. But the question today is this: has your Christianity become religion? Christianity versus religion. In Acts 11:26, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They were not mere professors of belief. They were not mere professors of Christianity. And this basic truth, honestly, has been lost or misused today. People pretend that it's belief versus predestination, which it's not. This has nothing to do with the fact that if someone becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ, then that means they were predestined. Not at all. Paul didn't teach them into Christianity. They obeyed into being a Christian. The most powerful part of hearing the word of God is responding to it, is obeying it on a daily basis. There's so much preaching and teaching today, especially this so-called preaching, that it's constantly about this thing of getting people clean and getting them right and all that. Well, now we need to do that. But if you're training people and teaching them, they're going to be doing that on a daily basis most of the time. Why? Because that's what you're teaching them. It might be a quippy little thing to say, give a man a fish and you feed him for the day. Teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Of course, I saw one woman who turned it into a different saying. Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach him how to fish, and you get rid of him for the weekend. But and maybe some need to. We really would rather have him be in the house of God and get trained up, amen. But Paul didn't do that. Before Agrippa, Paul didn't preach a head belief or an assenting. He wasn't trying to convert somebody to a belief system. Paul preached. And you know what he preached in his testimony? The role of obedience to Christ. In chapter 26, where he says, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Before that, in his preaching, Paul said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient under the heavenly vision. Agrippa knew what it meant. A Christian is someone who's living out daily the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, I realize that it's loosely used. But in the Bible context, and what I'm talking about is, we're talking about someone who is following Jesus Christ. And so in James is a great book never to be afraid of when it comes to the Christian life. It has nothing to do with not being saved. It has to do with looking at your life and saying, have I become religious? So he says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. And when he goes on and talks about staying unspotted from the world, you know what the world does not do? They do not bridle their tongue. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have a right to know all about people's lives. You're not God's fruit inspector. And I don't care what your position is. You're not. You say, well, there are times when leaders need to. But I tell you what I've got. We've got people in their 20s and 30s right now. And they think they're the hope of the next generation. And they're the curse of the next generation. Because their curiosity is constantly causing them to cross boundaries. And they become religious. They seem to be religious. All right, so here's the core truth. Are you practicing Christianity or religion? Christianity is a disciplined daily life. Religion is merely a system. Now wait, before you let yourself off the hook, hang on. Let's talk about some things. If your daily life, if your language, if the things you love are leavened with the world, yet you are considered, you know, this strong Christian, then you've become religious and the people around you have become religious. If your life is lived lower between ministry opportunities than a true Bible-believing Christian, then you have become religious. And your Christianity has become a religion, not true Christianity. All right, if your attitudes, if your actions, if your entertainment, if your murmuring. See, we could be running, honestly, I could take an hour here and run verses. But many of you know that, and all of you have got this digital stuff today where you can punch in a word, punch in murmur, type in murmur with an asterisk, and it'll bring them all up, right? And busybody, every form of it, and backbiting, and covetousness. Oh, yeah, you could do that if you want to be a Christian. if you want to have Christianity and not religion. If your attitudes, your actions, your entertainment, your murmuring, your tongue. Let me say this to you. If you think that rewards are dished out in relation to you attending services at the house of God, you have become religious. You say, well, surely you get rewards for going. Why would you get rewarded? That'd be like rewarding a kid for coming to the table and eating his meal. The meal is the reward, friend. See, someone goes, well, but if we don't preach that you get rewarded for coming to the house of God, they won't come. Then you must not be feeding them something that's really good and strong, or they just need to get right with God. See, most of you are more worried about building your so-called church. Do we want local assemblies to grow? Yeah. But your local assembly growing is as natural as breathing. It may not grow at your pace. It may not let you try to feel like you're keeping up with the Joneses or the Smiths or the other groups in your town. But if the Lord builds a house, you labor in vain. If the Lord build not the house, you labor in vain that build it. Listen, if you're allowing stuff in your life that those before you wouldn't, that you know you would not dream of them, and then, you know what I've heard in the last 10 years? I've heard great, strong, powerful men's ministry who have passed on defamed by even people very close to them, by them bringing up their faults. And as I listen closely, I find out they're bringing up the things they didn't like about the way the men did it. And those very things, I promise you this, I've watched this. The very thing they can criticize about those old men of God is what actually helped those people who are now in ministry and benefiting from their association, who helped them be what they are today. But you see, they're bitter about it instead of. And you say, well, how can that happen? Go read Hebrews 12. You can get bitter over chastening. Chastening is training. Training is hard. You can get bitter over your drill instructor. You can get bitter over the buds instructor. You can get bitter over your Bible teacher. You can get bitter over the person who had a hands-on part of your life. If you live service to service as a Christian, if you preach for emotional response, and how you feel about the sermon is what you say about it later to yourself, and how you feel about the response. Listen, if you're a contradiction through the day, you're practicing a merely vain religion. You know, I hear guys, I've heard guys tell jokes they wouldn't dare tell in a pulpit, or at least shouldn't. Now, why would you do that if you're a true man of God? I've seen people pull off deals they wouldn't want pulled off on themselves. Why would you do that if you want Christianity and not mere religion? You know what the mark of the Pharisees was? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not believing high and sometimes living below it. Hypocrisy is preaching it and expecting others to live high and letting yourself off the hook. There ought to be times when you have to say, Lord, I fell short of what you want there, and I'm sorry, and I ask you to forgive me and restore me. How about stories repeated? When you yourself, Christian, would be ruined by such a story, or you'd be ruined if the truth of your life came out. You know why it's called tale-bearing? Because a tale can be half true, it can be 10% true, it can be 100% true. It's that you're carrying it from one place to another instead of dropping it and burying it. Do you not think the flesh is behind that? Have you gotten so religious that you cannot see your flesh? You can see other people's flesh. Oh, well, they had a drink, or they did this or that. What about your flesh? What about your curiosity flesh? What about your superstitious flesh? What about writing yourself hall passes, as I say? Remember in school when they really had some kind of discipline? You weren't supposed to be in the hall during class. So if you got caught in the hall, you better have a hall pass. Well, a lot of Christians write themselves a hall pass. People are using language unfit for a believer. Preachers chasing offerings, coveting filthy lucre. Do you know what the old timers did? A lot of them. I'm not saying you got to if you happen to hear this. I doubt any preachers are going to listen to this, okay? But there might be some Christians that are going to get their eyes opened about preachers And I'm all for them. And I believe in God's men. And I believe in God's chain of command. But I'm going to tell you this. Christianity has become a religion amongst Bible believers because of their leaders. You know what many a man has to do? They have to work between meetings. You see, here's what happens. And old Brother Wood had this right. He said, you better not learn to live totally out of the offering plate. Didn't mean you should do, a church shouldn't help their man, okay? But what he meant was this. And this is where guys missed it. And there's fellows right now that have missed it. They've turned it into a profession because they got to have that next offering. And they don't have any calluses on their hands. And they'd probably be a whole lot fitter and healthier and happier if they had to work a couple weeks a month or a couple weeks every 2 months. And they don't do anything about it, but just live off of God's people. And that, look, they that preach the gospel shall live the gospel. I get that. A lot of guys sermonizing might as well be womanizing. Because of why they're doing it and how they're doing it. How about networking? You're networking. Why don't you call it making merchandise of God's people? Why don't you just do that and get it over with? Now, I say this because it's a great burden to my heart. I recently read an autobiography of a fellow who in his religion, they would consider themselves Christians. We wouldn't consider them Bible-believing Christians. But within his religion, he's very devout. He is. He's very faithful. He had a conscience. One thing that struck me, though, was he spoke of his prayers as primarily being during a crisis or a situational thing. And yet he did pray, by the way, and he did fast. And they did put some stock in the leadership's impressions. And here's what impressed me. What if they're more led than Bible-believing Christians? See, religiousness in a Bible-believing Christian blocks out light. It blocks it. Religiousness in a Bible-believing Christian looks for signs all the time. You know, God's people are on a yo-yo. They're like a yo-yo Christianity because of their preachers. Preachers have to wind them up. I don't think it's the people that need the winding up. I really believe they've been conditioned by the preachers to have to be wound up so the preachers feel like they've got something going. Religiousness in a Bible-believing Christian context, it builds on periodic service and observance. So what do you mean by that? Well, because it's when you get these certain things. Look, special meetings are awesome. But you ever notice this? In the old days, when God was moving a lot more, as in actual people's lives, when their lives were cleaner, when they were getting cleaned up. In those days, you know the difference was? God's people would get together. They would fellowship. If the meeting went long, it went long. If it went short, it went short. But now everything is scheduled as if God has to say, okay, well, then this is what we're going to do. You say, well, we got to have schedules. We do. But I'm telling you, it's become a religion. And much of it has become a religious exercise with planned expectations. Religious expectations. Religiousness in a Bible-believing Christian context lives high and then low. And then high and then low. And I would say to you this, the greatest burden of my heart is that it's the everyday Christian that's being hurt by it. If you're an everyday Christian, which is probably the only kind of people that are going to listen to this. Now, listen, if you're a preacher or a leader, you ought to get in the closet with your Bible and say, Lord, have I become religious? Have I allowed my life to be like the Pharisees? Because I'm telling you, Bible-believing preachers are far more like the Pharisees than the people out there in the everyday world that I meet. You say, well, no, we don't believe in all the keeping the law stuff. Oh, no, you're like the Pharisees. You say and do not. You're like the Pharisees. You've got these qualifications that if people don't live up to them, then they're not right with God and they're not a Bible believer or they're not independent Baptist or they're not old-time religion. Let me say this. This guy is of old-time religion, and I took old-time religion around the world, and I still carry it with me everywhere I go. But it's real old-time religion. It's not apostate religion. Your religion is not alive based upon how stirred up people get outwardly every time. I mean, I get stirred up, but not every time. Let me tell you. Here's what's happened. It's become a religious response. It's become a religious trigger. It's become a religious thing. If this happens and this happens, well, then God moved and God was here. And God, well, God's in you, man. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So where is he the other 6 days of the week? He said, well, don't you believe we need church? Absolutely, we need church. We need that midweek service. Brother Wood told me 30 years ago, he said, whatever you do, hang on to the midweek service because people are going to need it more and more towards the end. But I'm going to tell you something. The typical midweek service is nothing more than a pep rally. People need more than that. You need more than popcorn and a Coke to get through life. And it's not meaty preaching that just tells people and hammers all the other stuff that people don't do or the basics. The reason people are doing some of the other things is because 90% of the time it's because they're not getting grounded. They're not getting fed. They're anemic. And so they don't have the strength. You say, man, you put an awful lot on that pulpit. Absolutely. See, the problem is the pulpit's been charged now with power instead of responsibility. And people think that the power of it, but we'll go into that another time. But here's my point, okay? If you're a Christian, you need your Bible daily. If you're a Christian, you need to get taught it daily. If you're a Christian, your life needs to go beyond mere religion. So if you're a Bible-believing Christian, let's say you've been exposed to the fact that there's one Bible. And let me say this. Watch out for these dudes that are afraid of being a King James Bible believer like others are. And so they just call themselves an independent Baptist, whatever, and they poke fun at those who know their Bible. And that's because they don't know their Bible. You know what will happen if somebody who knows their Bible sits under you? We're going to see right through you. Right through you. Because for all your hooping and hollering and entertaining and personality in that pulpit, and that's all good and well, it is. But for all of that, it's just chaff. And it's mere emotion. And on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, a believer needs more than that. And in the middle of the night, they need more than that. Paul and Silas sang at midnight in the jail because they had more than that. Christianity versus religion. You know what Christianity is? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then it's Christ in you fellowshipping daily. It's Christ in you making corrections throughout the day. It's Christ in you saying, Lord, I don't just want to live knowing that I'm going to heaven. I want to live beyond the law. I want to go beyond it. The Lord Jesus Christ, everything he preached was beyond the Pharisees' law. But you see, here's what you got today. You got a whole lot of leadership that is preaching a watered down, narrow Christianity, but it's only narrow according to what they do already. They don't preach on gossip like they ought to. Oh, no. What they'll do is preach on you gossiping about them. But they're going to gossip. They don't preach on being a busybody. They don't preach on covetousness. They don't preach on laziness. That's for sure. They don't preach on keep your body under subjection. 1 Corinthians 9. I heard a great message by a brother yesterday on that. Great message. But more his message out of Kingaroy, Australia on those things is on the road is the leading ahead is a great message on it. You see, here's the thing, brother and sister. It has become a religion. Being a Bible believer, ready? Being an independent Baptist has become a religion. Now, let me say this. If you seem to be religious and bridle not your tongue, your religion's in vain. So should you be religious by the Bible sense? Absolutely. To do something religiously is to be consistent in it. But the difference between Christianity and religion is Christianity is about the Lord Jesus Christ and it's 24/7. Now, there probably, if God's will is fulfilled, if what he's nudging me about is so, there's probably somebody within the sound of my voice, and you do need a come to the Lord, a come to Jesus meeting right now. And it won't be emotional or something as such. It might be. There might be some actual tears or conviction, but it's not going to be some come down the altar and music playing because you just listen to it on audio. I've said this for 35 years. There's no such thing as a life-changing message, but there are life-changing truths that are delivered through messages. Big difference. This truth is one of the foundational truths. You should daily say, Lord, has my Christianity become a religion? Now listen, Oswald Chambers says there's some things God will make you do just because you said you'd never do them. I get that. I agree. And then there's some things God will say to you, others may, you cannot. That is, it doesn't matter if other people are doing it. This is not what being a Christian is for you. And you don't go put it on others. I tell you something. Here's how you know if you become religious. God puts something on you and you immediately want everybody else to have to do it. And you're bitter about it and grudging about it. I have heard preachers, I know of a guy who constantly, his real problem, if he'd let anybody tell him, is that he's bitter about the narrowness God put on him and didn't put on others. And it comes out all the time in his preaching. I don't care what God puts on you. I just know this. I don't want to become religious. And all the years we traveled and had horses, religion never appealed to me. I had a friend who on Saturday night would go to Mass while I went and filled the cooler. And then he'd just be as happy as could be when I picked him up out in front of the church. One night we got in a knockdown, a physical fight. I knew nothing about Christianity, friend. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I told him, I said, if you really think that it's possible for you to go in there and come out all great and wonderful and clean and before God, when you already know what we've got planned tonight, that's why you sent me to ice it down and get it all ready. I said, if you think that's so, I said, then I think you're the one who's messed up, not me. Because he'd always tell me I needed to get in his church. You know why he liked that church? Because it was religion. You know why you like your Christianity? Because it's become a religion. You know why you like the style and the measurement of style, the measurement of response and all the little, you know exactly what hoops to jump through. And it's become a comfortable religion. May God do something with these thoughts. I really pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.